State Senator Kel DeRoys, and I'm running for governor to raise wages, lower costs, have the best public schools in the nation, and to protect our rights and freedoms. I'm here today to talk about my plan for healthcare in Wisconsin, my vision to bring us closer to universal, affordable healthcare coverage for every single Wisconsinite. As I travel around the state, I hear about a lot of different issues, but one thing that comes up every single time is the way in which so many Wisconsinites do not have access to affordable healthcare. Even if they do have insurance, it costs way too much, and the premiums are skyrocketing. It doesn't cover what it should. People and providers are spending time arguing with insurance companies, and we cannot continue like this. Our country spends more per capita than any other country on healthcare, and yet we have some of the worst outcomes in the world, right? In terms of our longevity, our level of illness, our infant and maternal mortality rates, we're not getting what we're paying for. My plan is very different than what my friends in this Democratic primary are offering because it takes something that is actually working well in healthcare in Wisconsin, and that's the coverage that I receive as a state employee. I have high quality, comprehensive insurance. We have several nonprofit provider-owned insurers that provide health coverage to state employees. And there are also some private insurance companies as well. But it is very predictable because we are part of a really large pool. And what that means is I know that if my kid gets sick, I can take my kid to the doctor and it's not gonna result in a huge bill. I know that if I were to have a bad diagnosis or be in a car accident, that it's not gonna bankrupt my family. And that kind of health security is something that every single Wisconsinite, no matter who you are, where you're from, or who you work for, absolutely deserves. My plan, CaldeCare, will allow anyone in Wisconsin, an individual or an employer, to buy in at cost to the very same coverage that state employees get. Now, to be clear, this is not a taxpayer-funded plan, right? You will have to pay the cost. And if you're an employer, you're probably going to find that being a part of the state plan is cheaper, provides better coverage, and takes away from that time tax of having to constantly be looking for more affordable health insurance options. I talked to Kyle, a teacher up in Superior, Wisconsin, who said that this year, their insurance premiums for the school district were going up 38%. 38%. So guess what? Not only is no teacher in Superior going to be getting a raise this year, they'll all functionally be getting a pay cut. I talked to an owner of a mid-sized manufacturing company in Merrill who said that it used to be a matter of pride for her that she was able to cover the health insurance costs, you know, all the premium costs for her employees. And over the past 20 years, that percentage that she's been able to cover has gone down and down and down. And now she's looking at how can I even offer coverage? Maybe everyone's just gonna have to go on the ACA. This is a problem that we can solve with public policy by letting people buy in at cost. And let me lay out some of the benefits to taxpayers for this. Number one, when you have a larger pool, you can spread the administrative costs of that program over a broader number of people, and that will bring down the cost for taxpayers. Number two, a big reason that premiums keep going up and up and up in health insurance is uncompensated and undercompensated care, because people don't have insurance or their insurance isn't good enough to cover things. And this is why I have a friend who is an emergency room doctor. She tells me every single day there is somebody in the emergency room who says, "Do I really need to be here? Because I don't think I can afford it." That cost, that care is being provided, but the cost is not being borne by the uninsured patient generally because they don't have the money. If they had money, they'd have insurance. It is being borne by the providers, the system, and all of us who have private insurance. And so that's going into increase our premiums. When we expand access to coverage, we can reduce that uncompensated care and slow the growth of premiums that we have experienced. Perhaps most importantly, here we are in Milwaukee at a federally qualified health center. Throughout Wisconsin, we have a severe provider shortage. We have rural hospitals and clinics closing their doors. We have critical access hospitals in jeopardy of closing and leaving millions of Wisconsinites without access to care that they need, in large part because of uncompensated care. my plan, because the state health insurance plans reimburse providers at a reasonable rate, so not less than the cost of care, but the actual cost of providing the care, we can help keep those critically provider doors open for Wisconsinites in communities like Milwaukee, up in Ashland, where I was this weekend, throughout the state. Now, this is not the only piece of my healthcare plan. I also have detailed plans for how we're going to invest in mental health and behavioral health, how we're going to protect access to reproductive rights and reproductive freedom so that politicians are never between you and your doctor, and how we can help lower the cost of prescription drugs and increase the pipeline of providers here in Wisconsin. But the ad that my campaign released today really focuses on the fact that we need affordable access to high quality health insurance, and that's what I'm going to deliver with KeldaCare as governor. I would be happy to take any questions.
Senator Royce, Republicans are going after your latest ad saying that it escalates the rhetoric by saying that GOP and insurance companies are trying to kill us. What's your response to that criticism?
Well, I would just say look at the data. You know, we're a state that should have expanded Badger Care and covered at least 80,000 more Wisconsinites over the last 15 years. I wonder how many Wisconsinites in that time who would have been eligible for the expanded Badger Care coverage are dead because they did not have access to that care. I think about the women who have died post-Dobbs because they were turned away and they had to bleed out or go septic instead of receiving access to abortion care. I think about the substandard care that we have been providing as a state to women of color and babies of color, pre and postpartum, because Robin Voss was blocking the extended coverage for postpartum care for low-income women. There is a very, very real cost, not just financial, but human, when we deny people access to health care. And that is why throughout my political career, I have been always dedicated to getting more people access to high-quality health care and health insurance coverage every single year.
But in the midst of political violence that we've seen and assassination attempts, is saying Republicans are trying to kill us appropriate language during a campaign like this?
Well, I think the line is, it's almost like they're trying to kill us. And this is language that I have heard again and again from patients around the state and from the doctors who are trying desperately to care for them and saying, these patients are not able to get the care. They are dying because they don't have access to it.
Healthcare is the area where you can stand out in what's become a very jumbled Democratic primary?
I think healthcare is absolutely top of mind for voters, both for this primary election and for the general. I think that there are many areas where I stand apart from my friends in this primary. Healthcare is certainly one, but I also think public education is another one. I am the candidate that has put a stake in the ground and has a plan to bring the private voucher scheme that is diverting billions of dollars from our public schools into the pockets of unaccountable privatizers to bring that program to a responsible end. I'm also the candidate that has a more than two decades long track record of actually passing laws in the toughest of political environments and really delivering progressive change for people.
In light of the news regarding Sarah Rodriguez and her campaign finance issues, have you been talking with Missy Hughes? Have you been talking to David Crowley to try to get them to change their endorsement?
I have heard from and, of course, have reached out to hundreds of folks around the state, and I'm proud to say that I have earned the support of many, many people who initially were supporting other candidates, including Missy and David and Sarah. You know, this is the work that all campaigns and candidates should be constantly doing. It is ABC, always be campaigning and working to earn people's support and votes. I do think that the dynamics have shifted markedly in this race. We've always known that this was going to be a very late-breaking primary, that we're not going to really know anything until August 11th, because so many people are still not paying attention and don't, in fact, even know that there's an election going on, and that because there are not huge resources that any candidate has, there has been very little communication. You know, we announced 4 weeks ago that we were putting forth a statewide ad buy of $500,000. That's been up for 4 weeks. We announced earlier this week, now we've got another ad buy focused on the Milwaukee media market up on broadcast. So we are all in, we are making those investments because we believe that this is the moment when people are gonna start paying attention. And I am the candidate that folks all across the Democratic Party, from, you know, folks on the left and young people who feel like politics has failed them, to, you know, moderate sort of normie Democrats, to those disaffected Trump voters, can find in me a candidate who is responsible, who listens, and who is focused on the issues that matter most to Wisconsin.
So no direct conversations with Crowley or with Hughes?
Not, no.
How would you describe the state of the race as we sit here at this moment?
I would describe it as completely wide open and up in the air. I still think that Mandela Barnes has a significant advantage because of his name ID. And that makes sense because, you know, I think close to $70 million was spent trying to elect him to the United States Senate 4 years ago. And so people do know his name. But we also know from our polling that that support is very, very soft, and that most Democrats want somebody else to be able to carry the banner. The job of governor is a very serious one, and this is a once-in-a-generation opportunity. We need a candidate at the top of the ticket who will not only beat Tom Tiffany, but help us deliver a Democratic Assembly and Senate. And most importantly, we need somebody who's actually capable of doing the job of governing.
What is your July campaign finance report going to show?
I already released a report basically outlining the fact that I have raised $1.2 million in this campaign. I have spent a good number of that on the early investment in media that I've already outlined in press releases and that people have seen on their screens. So I'm probably not going to have as high of cash on hand as some of the other candidates. But I can assure you that the numbers that I put out in my campaign finance report and file with the state will be accurate, and that voters can trust the numbers that I put in there.
So shout out Rodriguez.
Question?
Are the errors in Rodriguez's campaign finance reports disqualifying in your mind? Should she drop out of the race?
It's not for me to tell anybody else how to run their race. I can tell you that when I looked at those finance reports in January, it didn't take me but 5 minutes to immediately say, hey, there's something wrong here. There's so many duplicates, what's going on? And as a candidate for office, I have run 5 campaigns. I ran a statewide nonprofit organization for 4 years. I have run a small business for 13 years through boom and bust times, and I have served on the Joint Finance Committee in the State Senate. I cannot imagine having no financial procedures in place where you could end up with such a massive discrepancy and not be looking at the bank balance and reconciling that with the numbers that you're getting. It is simply unimaginable that you would have no idea that you were basically inflating your fundraising numbers, almost doubling them in representations that were being made to donors. To me, there is no way that should be able to happen. You know every day how much money you raise, how much money you spend, and you should be reconciling those internal books with what's actually in your checking account.
You mentioned
I think that's up to us in Wisconsin. I think that we cannot allow Tom Tiffany to be governor. There is no question about that. And I have, since I was in high school, I've never sat out an election cycle, and I will not be sitting out this one, regardless of whether I am the nominee. I do think that I am the strongest candidate to beat Tom Tiffany. I think I am the strongest candidate to help give us our best chance of flipping that legislature Democratic. And I am by far the candidate with the experience to actually govern the state on day one. And by the way, that is not just an opinion that I hold. That is also borne out by the fact that I have by far the most endorsements of elected and former elected officials from every corner of the state. I actually have more endorsements from Milwaukee County than any of the other candidates. I have the biggest endorsement in the race, which is WEAC, our state teachers union, and the backing of former Lieutenant Governor Barbara Lawton. So folks who are paying attention and who really know what's at stake here have already made their choice, and they've said that Kel DeRoy's is our strongest choice.
Yeah, one Tom more question. Had the field to himself and run multiple ads portraying mm-hmm. himself as a friendly guy at the bar, neighbor next door. What is that too big of a hill to overcome after this primary is settled? What kind of ads will have to be aired in order to contrast that with his record that you're talking about?
Absolutely not. I think it's really important that Wisconsinites know the truth about Tom Tiffany. Listen, I like old fashions. I've got 4 daughters and a son. I like going to the Nutcracker with them. That is not what qualifies me to be governor. What qualifies me to be governor is that, unlike Tom Tiffany, who is a rubber stamp for Donald Trump, I am an independent thinker who has strong democratic values but has also worked across the aisle year after year to get things done and actually deliver for people. He wants a national abortion ban. I believe that you and your body and your health, those decisions belong only to you and not to your neighborhood politician. Tom Tiffany is an election denier. I believe in free and fair elections and fair maps. Tom Tiffany supported Donald Trump's illegal tariffs that are bankrupting our farmers and our small businesses and raising our prices at the grocery store. I've taken action again and again to stand up to bullies and billionaires like Donald Trump. I will deliver for Wisconsinites. Tom Tiffany only cares about doing whatever Donald Trump wants.
Thanks, Jess. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.